Good evening. How are y'all? This side of the church doing good. That side of the church doing empty, except those online, welcome. Yeah, right side, praise the Lord. All right, well, if you would, stand if you can. Let's start out by singing, "We Have Come Into His House." Yep, welcome online. We have come into his house and gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into his house and gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into his house and gathered in his name. Thank you. I've heard the Macedonian call today. Send the light, send the light. And a golden offering at the cross we lay. Send the light, send the light. And send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. Let us let pray that grace may everywhere abound. Send the light, send the light. And the Christ-like spirit everywhere be found. Send the light, send the light. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. Could my tears forever flow, could my zeal no longer know, these for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. In my hand no price I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. While I draw this fleeting breath, when my eyes shall close in death, when I rise to worlds unknown, and behold thee on thy throne, Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anybody got a pick of him this evening? 746. That's close to an airplane. He keeps me singing. Oh, that's not it? Okay, I can wait a minute. We can sing He Keeps Me Singing, but if you were meaning something else. Yeah, that's it. That's He Keeps Me Singing. There's within my heart a melody. Yeah. Okay, cool. He Keeps Me Singing on 746. There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee, peace be still, in all of life's ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. All my life was wrecked by sin and strife. Discord filled my heart with pain. Jesus swept across the broken strings, stirred the slumbering chords again. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Feasting on the riches of his grace, resting neath his sheltering wing, always looking on his smiling face, that is why I shout and sing. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Though sometimes he leads through waters deep, trials fall across the way. Though sometimes the path seems rough and steep, see his footprints all the way. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Soon he's coming back to welcome me, far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown, I shall reign with him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, and keeps me singing as I go. And praise the Lord. Amen. That's a good one. Anybody got another one? 405? Oh, 505. Okay, cool. I can almost slip read, I guess. Oh, two out of three ain't bad? 505? He touched me. 505. Shackled by a heavy burden, 'neath a load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me, oh, he touched me, and all the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Since I met this blessed Savior, since he cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me, oh, he touched me, and all the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Praise the Lord. Yeah, amen. Any others? Any other takers? Going once, going twice? Yeah. Yeah. Showers of blessings today.
Showers of blessings. Well, that rain has been nice. I tell you what, just the cloud cover and the temperatures in the 80s have been nice. Amen? Just to not see triple digits, that's hallelujah right there. Woo! Amen, amen. No, with the humidity, it probably felt like 90. Yeah. Yeah, it's so humid, you feel like you're swimming outside. All right, any praises tonight? I think Bobby's got a praise. He's got a big praise. We're going to praise the Lord for the rain. And then Bobby Coons has a praise.
God is good.
Amen all the time.
We have been praying for my kids. And last night, we had reconciliation.
Well, amen.
And it was awesome. A lot of crying, a lot of tears, a lot of apologies.
Yeah, great.
And
just
I couldn't hardly sleep last night.
It's great. Man, it's great to get it done before the holidays. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, we're all going out on the lake Monday.
All right.
On the boat. So
you're going to go out there during amateur hour, huh?
You're going to go out there during amateur hour.
Oh, be careful, brother.
God is good. God is good.
Labor Day, all the time. Amen. Memorial Day, Labor Day, 4th of July. That is amateur hour on the lake. Make sure you got your boat insurance. Yes, sir. In the back.
Praise from Sharon Heibarger.
All
My
right.
granddaughter Molly may not have scoliosis after all.
All right.
It may be an old injury from a fall that therapy can fix.
Okay. And this is granddaughter's name?
Molly.
Great, Molly Ann. All right. Okay. Granddaughter Molly.
Sharon got to babysit all four of her grandchildren last weekend.
All right, man.
All weekend.
First time in 5 years.
First time 5 years. Wow. Baby sad. Oh.
For what?
Her. Grandkids. Okay. What else? What else? Any other praises? All right, prayer requests. Let's hear them.
Let's pray for the mold to stay low.
Yeah, the mold is high. It is. If you're allergic to mold,
we love the rain, but the consequences is
amen,
we get the mold.
Amen, man. Mold and mosquitoes.
I got mushrooms growing in my yard.
Mold and mosquitoes.
I sprayed Grizzy down with off before I let him go outside.
Oh, that's sweet. Amen. Put the off on the dog. All right. Any prayer requests? All right. We'll do it.
I want to continue to pray for my daughter-in-law's daughter-in-law.
What's her name?
Ashley.
Ashley?
Yeah, the Lord is working on her, and I just want to
pray for salvation.
Pray that, yes.
All right, Ashley, pray for salvation.
Yes. Oh, I guess we have to pray for Tiffany, right?
I got Tiffany down.
You got her down?
Yeah, I'll go over them. I think I got everybody's. Let me go over them.
All right.
And then if I've missed any, you guys fill me in. So we're praying for Sandra Capps. She's got that detached retina in her eye. Has anybody got an update on Sandra? No? Okay. And then we got Ronnie and Nancy Holman. We want to continue to pray always for Ronnie, pray for his cancer. Pray that God will heal him and take care of Miss Nancy as she cares for him. We got Ronnie and Alita home this evening, not feeling good, and we're still praying for Ronnie to pass that kidney stone. We got Tiffany, and Tiffany's got some liver issues, and the name of her condition is really, really long, but basically it is solvable. Amen. So she got the game plan, and she's going to get after it. All right, so Tiffany, we're going to pray for our liver issues. We want to continue to pray for our shut-ins, Ms. Hudson, Ms. Socorro, Don and Dorothy Hearts. Lift those folks up. Any other shut-ins you can think of. Those of you with unspokens, lift your hand. All right, we want to pray for unspokens tonight. We want to continue to pray for Gene Fuller and possible bladder cancer. Has we got an update on Gene? Anything on Gene? No update? Or we continue to pray for Gene Fuller, possible bladder cancer. I'm serious. You got one back there?
Yeah.
All right, jump in here, buddy.
Okay, Sharon Heibarger, two prayers. God to guide me to a new job.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
And to guide Justin in his decision to which branch of the military to join.
I thought he was going Air Force. All right. Heibarger, new job. And Justin... Can't go wrong with the Marine Corps. And I just go in, Brother John said. Just go in. All right, Justin. Well, maybe it's the Holy Spirit. I wrote Marine under Justin, so maybe that's where he's going. I don't know. All right. Terry, I got her down. Let's see here. Ashley Salvation. If you've seen this in the news, I'm being serious when I bring this prayer request up, but I'll be in prayer for Ed Young, Second Baptist. He made some comments from his pulpit, and golly, man, I'll tell you what, when you got a pulpit like that, all the kind of people are watching you and listening to you. It's not necessary. Have y'all seen that on the news, Ed Young? He basically called, now let me step away because these are his comments, not mine, but he basically called county leadership a bunch of bums. And the problem I have as a white pastor with county leadership that is culturally diverse is when you're an old white man and you're calling Hispanics and black folk bum, buddy, you don't have a clue what you've done. I mean, I think he does now. But saying that from behind that, and everybody's entitled to their opinion, even pastors. I know I've got mine. Amen. But when you get past the issues, all right, been fine talking about crime. You talk about crime all day long. Talk about crime, right? How high it is, how many people are dying. But when you get off the issue and you attack the character as a white guy, when leadership in the county and the city is predominantly culturally diverse, you have set back race relations. I don't know how far. So pray for him. He's probably going to, his church is, Ed Young's got more money than all of us. Yeah, he makes over $1 million a year. He spends, this is the problem I have with preachers that, and again, I'll even get on the floor. I won't even be up here on the platform. This is the problem that I have with pastors and preachers of some of these mega churches. He maybe prepares 26 sermons a year. Maybe. He spends a good part of his time at his second home in Hawaii, if he hadn't sold it. You know, his wife passed away a couple years ago. So, He is getting frail, and maybe he's slipping a little bit up there. But just pray for that church, because now they're going to bear the brunt of everything. That's right, and do I think that needs to happen? I don't think that needs to happen, but what would be great to happen if Ed would pull out his fork, eat his crow, and all he would have to say is, I crossed the line when I attacked their character. I still stand by what I said about the issues, but when I attacked their character, I crossed the line. I know, but that's for biblical truth, right? Yeah, amen. Very good. All right, so let's pray for them, and we'll get on down the road with it. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Lord, and we thank you that we have a place that's dry. But, Lord, we are thankful for the rain. We praise you for the showers of blessing. Thank you for how the dry, parched ground is soaking up the water, Lord. We praise you. We love you for it. We pray you continue to inundate us with these showers the next several days. Lord, we pray that when we get in the middle of September and they show that drought monitor, we pray the drought is broken in the state of Texas and other parts of this great country, God. We pray you just keep bringing that rain little bit at a time, shower at a time, day at a time, Lord. We're not praying necessarily for a hurricane or tropical storm to come through here, but, Lord, we just pray you continue to send your showers of blessing. Lord, we are thankful tonight for a great praise, Bobby Coon's kids. having their time of reconciliation as the church and myself personally have prayed for months. And Lord, we're just thankful that there was a breakthrough and finally pride was swallowed and forgiveness was sought and reconciliation has happened. And so Lord, we just lift that up to you as a testimony of the prayer warriors of this body. And Lord, we pray that we'd continue to pray for things like that. We lift up Sharon's praise for Molly, her granddaughter, not having the scoliosis. We pray that be the fact, and that, Lord, they would get that back straight with therapy and get her on her way and continuing on with her life. And we're thankful for grandkids and Sharon's time that she got to spend with them last week, Lord. What a blessing family can be. Lord, as we come to you tonight, we lift up Sharon's request for a new job and wisdom and direction in seeking that new job. Lord, help her. Be with her. Lead, guide, and direct her. And then, Lord, we lift up Justin, her son, as he seeks which branch of the military to go into. Lord, we pray you give him a sign. You open a door for him. You give him a direction. And, Lord, just help him discern and figure it out. Lord, we continue to pray for Sandra Capps as we understand she's got a detached retina in one of her eyes. And Lord, we pray that that is coming back together and that is healing and that she's taking all the precautions for that, Lord. We just pray you watch over her. We lift up Ronnie and Nancy Holman to you tonight, Lord. We pray for his continued healing. And Lord, we pray you watch over him. And Lord, we just asking that you touch his body and remove that cancer from him, Lord. Be with Nancy as she cares for him. We lift up Ronnie and Alita to you tonight. We pray for Ronnie and his kidney stone, Lord, that it would certainly pass and that, Lord, you would get it out of his body and that, Lord, you would help both of them feel better as they're under the weather tonight. Watch over them, Lord. Bring healing to their bodies. We lift up Tiffany to you tonight. And, Lord, she knows what she's got to do. And, Lord, we're thankful that we've got a diagnosis. And, Lord, we just pray that you would reverse it and just help her. And, Lord, we're thankful for Tiffany. And, Father God, we just pray that you see her through as she works through this health issue. We lift up our shut-ins to you tonight, Don and Dorothy Hartz, Miss Sakura, Miss Hudson, others. Lord, we pray for them. Pray that the live stream would be a blessing to them and would help them, encourage them, and just feed them where they need to be fed. We lift up our unspokens to you tonight, Lord. And we're thankful that we can voice those to you privately and silently to you this evening as we are praying corporately as a body of believers. Thank you that you're sovereign. Thank you that you're in control. Thank you that you hear us, Lord. We just praise you and we love you that we can bring all of our petitions, all of our prayers to you, and that you give us the peace that passes all understanding in some of these difficult things that we really don't know how to deal with or pray for. We lift up Gene Fuller to you tonight, and Lord, we pray for this potential health scare that he has with this maybe bladder cancer recurring on him. And so, Lord, we're just praying in advance that that not be the case, that he doesn't have bladder cancer, Lord, and if he does, that you would touch his body and bring healing to it and remove that cancer from him. And then, Lord, as we've mentioned tonight, we lift up a sister church. We pray for them as they are certainly under attack right now. Lord, we pray that they would continue to stand for the truth and the gospel would be preached there. We pray for their pastor, Ed Young. And, Lord, we pray you might bring him to a place of humility, a place of just simply stating where he crossed the line. And he's certainly entitled to his political opinions. But, Lord, we pray that you would just give him insight, wisdom, discernment, direction. Their whole church, Lord, just be with them, protect them. Lord, we pray there not be any kind of hate crimes against their body, against that congregation, or against that body. Lord God, we just pray you watch over them at this time. We lift up Miss Terry to you in Ukraine. And Lord, we pray that you keep her safe. You watch over her, Lord. You help her. And Lord, just help her be a minister of the gospel as she serves the people of Ukraine as a part of that Samaritan's Purse entourage over there. We're thankful for them. We're thankful for Franklin Graham and all that they do in the different parts of the world. But Lord, we are praying for their protection. Be with Vince as he cares for his mother-in-law. Watch over his home. We pray nothing else would come against them. And then, Lord, we lift up Ashley to you tonight. We're praying for her salvation. We're praying for wisdom and discernment in her life. And, Lord, we're just praying that you help her navigate this spiritual condition that she finds herself in. And, Lord, we pray you bring her to the crossroads of life and the crossroads of making a decision for you. Thank you, God, that you've saved us. We thank you for your word tonight. As we get into it, we pray that our hearts and minds would be open to receive it. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. All right, let's take a copy of God's word, take it, and turn to Revelation 22:13, and we'll read it through verse 21 again. I'll invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the holy and inerrant word of God. Holy and inerrant word of God. We'll explain that a little bit more tonight as we get into it. And this should be our second to the last Bible study. Again, we've got the big Labor Day holiday on Monday, so we will not be having Sunday night p.m. church, but we will be having a hot dog end of summer blast. We're going to we have an ice cream? We can't. And some hamburgers? Yeah, amen. And that good chili, you getting that good chili for them hot dogs? Yeah, amen. Amen. Amen, brother. All right, all right. Revelation 22, beginning in verse 13, the Word of God reads this, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the immoral persons and the murderers and the idolaters and everyone who loves and practices lying. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the church, for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David and the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let the one who hears say, come, and let the one who's thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues which are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city, which are written in this book. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I'm coming quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen. All right. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant word of God, and may he add his tremendous blessing to it. Now, we're talking about the last invitation, which is basically verse 17. And the verses around that, before and after it, are the great incentives that the gracious and merciful motivator gives those that are lost to receive the gospel message, to obey the gospel message, to be saved. Now, we've already covered the best reason, and that is because of the person of Christ. That was 13 and 16. And we ended last time on Sunday night talking about another incentive that God gives us, and that is the exclusivity of heaven, right? And as we ended on Sunday night, we said heaven is exclusive for those who've been cleansed from their sins by faith in the blood of Christ, whose names have been, as we mentioned, written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who has been slain, Revelation 13:8. Now, in contrast, everyone else will remain outside the New Jerusalem in the lake of fire. Per Revelation 20:15, 21:8, we ask the question why, and then we answer that question because nothing unclean and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, talking about into the city, but only those whose names, again, are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's Revelation 21:27. And then we discussed in 22:15 and in 21:8, we have a representative, though not exhaustive, list of the type of sins that exclude people from heaven given to John. So two lists, one in 22:15, one in 21:8. The inclusion of dogs on this list was puzzling to some, but not to us cat owners, right? I mean, we know why dogs are on the list. But in ancient times, we said dogs were not the domesticated household pets like they are today. That's why you see dogs there in the list. They were despised scavengers that milled about cities' garbage dumps. And there is scriptural reference after scriptural reference about the undomesticated dog. So, as we begin this evening, what is the implication? Now, we used to call each other this in high school. What up, dog? You doing all right, dog? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, that's your time, my time frame. What is the implication of calling a person a dog? It's kind of like we didn't know any better. We just, dog was a slang term. We just slung it around, right? To call a person a dog in a biblical sense, in the context of this passage, to call a person a dog was to describe that person as someone of low character. Now, if we knew that back in high school, we probably wouldn't have slung that word around, but we didn't know any better. In fact, the first time blatantly impure sinners are called dogs is in Deuteronomy 23:18, where male homosexual prostitutes are in view. So the term dog here in the Bible is not an endearing term when we read it in Scripture. Now, I know I've got a little dachshund. It's a sweet little dog, and some of you have sweet little dogs, and that's beautiful. Amen? Dogs are domesticated now. But here in the Bible, it's kind of a derogatory, it's an unscrupulous, it's not a term to be want to call. As we continue on with some more of these terms in 22:15, it says, outside of the dogs and the sorcerers and the immoral persons and the murderers and the idolaters and everyone who loves and practices lying, we're talking about verse 15 tonight right now. When we think about sorcerers, that is from pharmakos, from the Greek word pharmakos, the root of the English word pharmacy. And what is that in reference to? It refers to those engaged in occult practices and the drug abuse that often accompanies those practices. For these people to see visions and to have dreams, they would take mind-altering substances, even back here in biblical times, to get to that state. So sorcerers, immoral persons, we read that in verse 15. That is from the Greek word pornos, the root of our English word for pornography. And that are those people who engage in illicit sexual activities. We have murderers, that's pretty self-explanatory, also excluded from heaven in the given list in 21:8, and also in other lists of sinners in the Bible, Romans 1:29. We have idolaters, are those who worship false gods or who worship the true God in an unacceptable manner. And we can look at different verses that refer to that. The final group excluded from heaven also includes everyone who loves and practices lying. Now, I know what you're thinking. And you may be thinking this online. Well, Pastor, I have certainly lied, haven't you? Well, I've told a few in my day. I've lied, certainly not murdered. I don't think anybody here is a murderer, but I have been immoral, maybe somebody online. I've abused my body with illicit drugs and was acting like an idolater before coming to Christ. So, preacher, when I look at these lists of sinners, how do I interpret these verses? Am I saved? Can I be saved? Or have I lost my salvation if I've slipped back into one of these sins? Well, this passage here in verse 15 is interpreted just like the other lists of sinners in the Bible. And let me try to explain it to you this way. What determines who is inside the holy city and who is outside in the lake of fire, who's in heaven or who's in hell, goes like this. Just because you've committed any of these sins does not exclude you from heaven. What excludes people from heaven is their love and habitual practice of such sin. They stubbornly cling to the sin and refuse Christ's invitation for salvation. In other words, if you find yourself in one of these sins and you have conviction and then you go to the Lord in prayer and ask for forgiveness, you're giving evidence that you've got the Holy Spirit in you and you're thus saved. Rather, the person who thinks nothing of the sin is what I do, the sin is what I love, that's the person that's excluded and on the outside. Does that make sense? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11 reads this in Paul's epistle to that church. It says, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." And this is what he says in verse 11. He says, "Such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit, there's that Spirit, and in the Spirit of our God. So the ones who end up on the outside into the eternal lake of fire are the ones who refuse the conviction of the Holy Spirit. They're the ones who refuse the invitation of God to be saved. They're the ones who push away salvation. They're the ones who say, I don't want Jesus, right? Those are the ones who end up on the outside. That makes sense, right? Amen? All right, so the great gracious motivator, he gives incentives, right? And we've covered two because of the person of Christ, because of the exclusivity of heaven. We're here in the last verses of Revelation, and we're dealing with the last great invitation of Jesus Christ to a sinning world. We come to the third incentive, the third great motivator. And that is because of this, because of the inerrancy and infallibility or truthfulness of Scripture. Now look at verses 18 and 19. It says, I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues which are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city which are written in this book. Now, when we talk about, you know, we stand and it probably, when I first came here and we started doing that, thank you for standing in honor of the reading of the holy and inerrant word of God, that probably meant more than it does 8 years in. Familiarity kind of breeds contempt, I get it. But just because we're familiar with it doesn't mean it ain't so. The word of God is true. It is infallible. And it is inerrant, which means there are no errors in it as far as the original languages are concerned. Does that make sense? What is the great significance that the Bible closes with an affirmation of its truthfulness? What is the great significance of that? It's because the words of Scripture are faithful and true. Amen? They're faithful and true, as 22:6 says. He said to me, these words are faithful and true in Revelation 22:6. Now, they must not. The words must not be sealed up, but proclaimed per 22:10. And he said to me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Now, sinners, as we've already mentioned, are to be called to respond to the warnings in the new word of the living God, or they are to suffer the consequences in the word of the living God, or they are to suffer the consequences. All the prophecies of Revelation regarding the doom of sinners will what, Pastor? They're coming true. These things will come true. The terrifying certainty of the truth of God's Word, the terrifying certainty of what is written here, the terrifying certainty of the message, you would think it would drive people. It would motivate people. It would inspire people to find out more about this salvation and receive this gospel before it is entirely too late. Because if they don't come to Christ, that's the only way. Coming to Christ is the only way to escape the wrath to come. Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, again, Paul writing to the church at Thessalonica, he writes, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath to come. Paul's already talking about the wrath to come in Thessalonians. Matthew writes about the wrath to come in the Gospel of Matthew. The Gospel writers refer to the Matthew. The rest of the New Testament refers to the wrath. Revelation deals with the wrath. I'm telling you, wrath is coming. Make sense? So as we transition on and get a little bit deeper into the Bible study, who is the speaker who testifies to the authority and finality of the words of the prophecy of this book? The speaker is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 20, he who testifies to these things says, yes, I'm coming quickly. Amen, come Lord Jesus. That's John responding. Amen, come Lord Jesus. The speaker right now, though, is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. When we think about verses 18 and 19. His solemn warning against tampering with Scripture applies first of all to the prophecy of the book of the Revelation. Now, if you'll take Revelation and go all the way back to chapter 1 as we Bible study through it tonight, and look at verse 3, Revelation 1, 3, the Word of God reads, Revelation 1, 3, Revelation 1:3 says, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and heed the things which are written in it, for the time is near. All right? Now, as we continue on in our Bible study, at the end of the book, we have stern rebuke against those that were rebuked at the beginning of the book. Remember, this whole thing we're talking about, these last verses, 13 through 21, this whole Bible study series right here at the end, we called it a what? We called it a full circle ending. Everything is coming back around full circle. So we have a stern rebuke of those from 2:20. You're already at Revelation 1. Go to Revelation 2 and look at verses 20 with me. Verses 20 through 23. The Word of God reads this in 2:20. But I have this against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, and she teaches and leads my bondservants astray, so that they commit acts of immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, and she does not want to repent of her immorality. Behold, I will throw her on a bed of sickness, and those who commit adultery into her, into the great tribulation, unless they repent of her deeds. And I will kill her children with pestilence, and all the churches will know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your deeds. Now look at verse 24. But I say to you, the rest who are in Thyatira, who do not hold this teaching, who have not known the deep things of Satan, as they call them, I place no burden on you. So what is this group doing? They're holding to this group we just read about, verses 20 through 23, they are holding to the deep things of Satan. So when we read the great rebuke, when we read the great warning at the end, it's first of all dealing with these folks at the beginning of the book of Revelation. Then we have another group in chapter 3. Don't lose your place. Go to chapter 3, verse 9. This group in 3:9 referred to as those of the synagogue of Satan. Look at 3:9. Behold, I will cause those of the synagogue of Satan who say that they are Jews and are not, but lie, I will make them come and bow down at your feet and make them know that I have loved you. So we've got this other group in 3:9 referred to as the synagogue of Satan. We've got this first group we talked about in chapter 2 who are holding to the deep things of Satan. These sinners would have assaulted, they would have assaulted the message and the truth of the revelation. Now, as in the first century, nothing has changed when it comes to sin and the attempt of man to discredit the Word of God. Nothing has changed. Down through the centuries to our present day, there have been others who have both attacked Revelation and seriously misinterpreted Revelation or ignored Revelation altogether in an attempt to marginalize. You know what marginalization is, don't you? Well, we'll just ignore it and push it off to the side so nobody has to deal with it. We'll just marginalize it, right? Who writes in the margins of their paper? Well, not, well, probably nursing students, because you're taking notes, right? But most folks don't do that, right? It's off in the margin, amen? We've marginalized it. Well, this is what theologians and churches that don't want to get, you know, did I talk about this Sunday morning? Maybe I'm getting old. I don't think I talked about this. You know why the... You just stop me if I talk about this. You know what? Some of these churches, their music services are so long. I mean, they go on for an hour and a half. You know why? They got nothing to say. They've cut so much out of the gospel. They've taken so much out of the word. They've marginalized so much of the truth. There's just not that much to say about it. So let's have an hour and a half music concert festival. We'll roll some smoke. We'll strobe the lights, right? We'll make it so loud that, you know, the people with hearing aids will turn it completely off, right? Yeah, amen. And then we won't share much about the truth. I think that's part of what's going on here. Amen? Did I talk about that Sunday morning? Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. Huh? Okay, very good. The services be running together. Amen? All right. Where was I at? 3:9. In light of the repeated warnings against altering God's word, Christ's warning here at the end of Revelation, you can go back to Revelation 22 now. Christ's warning at the end of Revelation, it must be broadened, it must be expanded to include all of Scripture. And I'll ask you this question, and then I'm going to try to answer it for you. How do we make the application of all Scripture from this verse here at the end of Revelation, or these two verses, right? How do we make the application? Well, we've already got some verses sprinkled throughout the Word of God that deal with what's going on here in Revelation 22. I'll take you to a couple. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2. That's all the way back in the Old Testament. That's in the Torah, the Shema, the book of Moses. Deuteronomy 4, 2 says, "You shall not add to the word which I'm commanding you, nor take away from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you." Again, in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 32, it says, "Whatever I command you, you shall be careful to do. You shall not add to, nor take away from it." Likewise, we come further up in the Old Testament, get to the wisdom literature. Proverbs chapter 30, verses 5 and 6 says, "Every word of God is tested. He is a shield to those who take refuge in Him. Do not add to His words, or He will reprove you, and you will be proved a liar." So, that is how theologians, that's how they arrive at the application that the prohibition against altering the apocalypse or the book of Revelation, by implication, extends to all of Scripture. Now that feeds back into this. This series at the end of Revelation is called a full circle ending of the book of Revelation. It all comes back around. And that these prohibitions, because they all deal with the Holy Spirit-inspired Scripture, they all are connected in the breadth or the width, or the depth of the prohibition. To further add to this truth that the warning against tampering with Revelation is a whole Bible warning, we need to view Revelation correctly. How do we view Revelation? We view Revelation. Revelation describes the entire sweep of history from the close of the apostolic age. From the close of the apostolic age all the way to the eternal state. So what you will find in Matthew, it's going to talk about eschatology, the last days, when we get to the end of Matthew. When you get into Thessalonians, it talks about the last days. Other parts of the New Testament speak of the eternal state, speak of glorified bodies, speak of heaven, speak of this and that. It's all tied together. Amen? That's how we make that connection. Praise the Lord. All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we shall be dismissed. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you again. We thank you, Lord, for your church. We thank you for their attention tonight, Lord. Thank you for an easy group to teach and preach to and Bible study with. Thank you for them and their smiling faces. Lord, be with them as they depart this place tonight. Give them safety. watch over them the rest of this week. Lord, we pray that this dose of Bible will just be a good, just carry us all the way through to Sunday, Lord. Certainly we'll pray tomorrow and the next day and the next day. But Lord, may this feeding on the Word feed our souls and encourage our spirits. And just give us that step that we need to take on the rest of this week for you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for saving us. And again, Lord, we just praise you for your goodness and your grace. It's in your name we pray, and everybody said, amen. All right.